Tribune Tower, WGN Radio presents a conversation.
I want to make one thing perfectly clear.
A dialogue.
What are you prepared to do?
An astute debate.
Everything within the law.
And a peek behind the curtain of politics.
And then what are you prepared to do?
I think Chicago is not only the center of the country, I think it's the center of the world.
Don't tread on them.
Where did this statement come from?
This is the Sunday Spin. Your host is the Chicago Tribune's Rick Pearson.
Good Sunday morning, everyone. I'm Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune, and welcome to this edition of the Sunday Spin for October the 14th, 2018. This is our weekly look at the world of politics and policy as we travel from City Hall to the State House all the way to the White House. So time to grab that Sunday paper, get that hot cup of coffee, and we'll do our best to get your week off to a really great start. Well, I heard the words snow in the forecast, Dave, and
Rain mixed with snow, so I'm trying to
soften it.
May be mixing rain and snow northwest of the city and the northern sections, but with lows in the upper 30s overnight tonight in the early morning hours, it's a possibility.
Yeah, well,
we always saw some snow the other day in Streeter.
Well, I was going to say my colleague Mike Riopel was down in Quincy for the last broadcast debate of the gubernatorial candidates, and on his way back on Friday, was giving me a call, checking in, and telling me about how the snow had started in Bloomington and was really coming down in El Paso, Illinois. And I'm going, don't go any further north. Just leave it there. Leave it down there.
Stay there for a while.
Yeah, right. It's following you, so don't bring it with you. But my gosh, yesterday was just gorgeous, though.
Yesterday was a great day, yeah.
And, I mean, today is going to be nice. Today,
yeah, highs in the 50s, overcast, you know, not a dreariness like we had Friday, I believe.
Friday
was just dark and dreary.
Well, and Wednesday too, with all of that rain that came down.
Yeah, right, especially in the afternoon.
And I kept thinking, boy, it's a good thing it's, you know, still early October, because if that had been snow, it would have been a mess.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been a mess.
We wouldn't have been ready for it.
No. Well, in fact,
and we may not be ready for this here this evening.
I actually, my heavy coat was at the dry cleaners, and so, I mean, there were a couple of mornings where, you know, it was in the 30s, and I was ready for the heavy coat already.
Mine's ready to go, but I'm due for a new winter coat this year.
Well, actually,
this is the year for a new one.
Actually, for what I paid to get it out of the dry cleaners and also get pockets sewn and things,
you can't afford.
I should have bought a new coat. Is what? I was curious, like this morning. Now, it actually, you know, it was upper 40s when I came in, so it was comfortable. I could wear a lighter jacket with a sweater, but
we're up 1 degree now at O'Hare. It's 39.
Celebration time.
That's O'Hare, but down here by the lake, it was 40.
Well, how about this, guys? Roger Badish told me that he was reporting wind chills Friday night when he was here Friday night into Saturday.
Oh, stop. Stop.
Well, you know, they were above zero, but I mean, it actually there was enough wind and the temperatures were low enough, and that's the combination that gives you wind chill index. So
I think you should still do heat index.
Yes. THI.
Yeah. Even, you know, even if it's below the actual temperature, it's still warmer than it would be if it was below zero.
We can figure that out. Right now, it says the heat index is not available, but it also says wind chill is not available.
Okay.
That's because the winds are calm right now.
Good. So we're in neutral territory.
We're in neutral territory, yes.
Well, speaking of neutral territory, I'm wondering when the Blackhawks are going to, you know, put in some production in the neutral ice.
Mm-hmm.
And score regulation winning goals, a new NHL record.
Yeah, since the overtime was adopted back in the early 80s, the first team in the NHL history to play 5 straight overtime games to open up the season.
Now,
they won 3 of them.
Yeah, and yes, it's very exciting.
Mm-hmm. It's too exciting for early 80s.
Yeah, action. Exactly. I'm not ready for this, but the other night, I have to tell you, it was Thursday night. There was the governor's debate going on, so I was covering that. So I missed most of the Blackhawks game, but I didn't stop my Aunt Jo up in Asco from, you know, texting, and it's like, Aunt Jo, I'm working right now. I'll get back to you.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, by the time I got back to her, it was shortly after the Wild tied it up with 23 seconds left in the game.
And it was a shorthanded goal.
And a shorthanded, on a shorty, which I said right there, I'm sorry, they deserve to lose.
Yeah, that was a gut-wrenching one. I mean, if there's such thing as a gut-wrenching loss this early in a season, it's 2 points that you leave on the table there against the division opponent.
A division opponent, yes.
So you might need that later in the year. Although Minnesota doesn't look like it's going to be a team that is going to compete for the division, but still, you don't want to leave those points on the table. Yeah, they got a point out of it, which is good. But last night, again, the extra point was nice, but
it's a division opponent.
Yeah, it's a division opponent that they've beaten twice now in overtime, which is good. But the first period, they always come out guns a-blazing, and then all of a sudden, second period and third period, you're thinking, where are they?
Well, I admit I had to crash before the game ended.
Mm-hmm.
But I did watch about halfway through the second period, and I love the intensity.
Yeah.
I mean, they were, and I tweeted out, I said, I'm very confident with their intensity that it'll be a good result, and then went to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
To wake up to find out it was another overtime.
Another OT game, yeah. You talk about the intensity. The tone being set by the captain, Jonathan Toews,
yes.
Who looks like a new guy out there. I mean, I think that it's kind of a little bit of a misnomer with the fact that he had a quote unquote awful season last year. I don't think anybody really stood out head and shoulders that a team that doesn't make the playoffs. I mean,
I wouldn't say it was awful.
I wouldn't either.
Off.
It was a little less than what we're used to from him. And this guy just rededicated himself in the off season. He looks fast and strong, and that line with him and DeBrincat and Cahoon, they've got life every time they have the puck. Every time they're in the offensive zone, you think that there's going to be a tic-tac-toe goal, you know, one of those
right.
The crisp passing. And
well, look at that game winner last night.
DeBrincat last night with a great setup from Toews. And the Cat has 6 goals on the season. Patrick Kane has 5, and Jonathan Toews has 5. And yet they've taken 8 out of a possible 10 points to start the year.
Yeah, I mean,
you don't get paid by the hour. Remember that. Your contract is for regulation.
Yeah, exactly.
There's no overtime.
I don't get paid by the word either,
exactly.
You know. And now we got the Bears today.
Yeah, should be good. I think that, you know, we looked at Tampa a couple of weeks ago, how bad their defense was. Miami's is not a whole lot better. Plus, Miami's offensive line is just in tatters right now. And that could mean a feeding frenzy for some guy that wears number 52, Khalil Mack.
Wouldn't that be fun?
And if it's not going to be him, because he's going to probably occupy a double or maybe even a triple team
right.
at times, it could be Akeem Hicks, it could be Leonard Floyd, it could be any one of a number of guys, Danny Trevathan, Roquan Smith. Prince Amukamara is expected back as a cornerback, so that will certainly help. And if he can keep guys covered, the pass rush will do its thing. Ryan Tannehill, their quarterback, questionable for the game, but it's anticipated that he will play.
I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what happens after the bye week. I think
right.
we mentioned a little bit last week when we were talking about how Matt Nagy decided to say that, the bye week's coming at a good time. I heard Hamp and OB and Kaz the other day saying, boy, we want to play again next week. This is a bad time for the bye week. But remember, Matt Nagy comes off the coaching tree of Andy Reid, who is a ultra-successful coach after after a bye. 20 wins in 24 games in his career coming off the bye. And Matt Nagy was sitting shotgun for many of those games and may have picked up a few pointers here and there from Andy Reid. So we'll see how they come out today.
Yeah, I'm absolutely looking forward to it. It's been a long time since I've had that to say about a Bears game.
About that?
So, no, that's fantastic. Well, Dave's here to keep us up to date on all the news. Andy has the latest sports. Producer Cassara is fielding your calls. We're at 312-981-7200. You can text us at that number as well. We're on Facebook at facebook.com/thesundayspin. We're on Twitter @SundaySpin. Engineer Bob is looking to get the snow shovel ready. he's still with it's in the closet. I saw it over there. Remember, you can find all of our shows on WGNRadio.com. You can also get our podcast at iTunes by searching for my name, Rick Pearson. Welcome back to your Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune here in the Allstate Skyline studio. Time to launch our weekly spin through national politics. We'll start with how Chicago became part of the national political conversation when President Trump told the International Association of Chiefs of Police that the city should implement stop and frisk to deal with its crime problems.
And I have directed the Attorney General's office to immediately go to the great city of Chicago to help straighten out the terrible shooting wave. Want to straighten it out fast. There's no reason for what's going on there. I've told them to work with local authorities to try to change the terrible deal the city of Chicago entered into with ACLU, which ties law enforcement's hands, and to strongly consider stop and frisk. It works, and it was meant for problems like Chicago. It was meant for it. Stop and frisk. And Rudy Giuliani, when he was mayor of New York City, had a very strong program of stop and frisk, and it went from an unacceptably dangerous city to one of the safest cities in the country, and I think the safest big city in the country. So it works. Got to be properly applied, but stop and frisk works. The crime spree is a terrible blight on that city, and we'll do everything possible to get it done. I know the law enforcement people in Chicago, and I know how good they are. They could solve the problem if they were simply allowed to do their job and do their job properly, and that's what they want to do. So, Chicago, we're going to start working with you as of today.
So, according to the Trump administration, working with the city, that meant that Jeff Sessions, the attorney general, filing with the federal court an effort to block the consent decree that's being worked out for federal oversight of the Chicago Police Department. The U.S. government, through the Department of Justice, weighing in against that, as well as what you heard the president say, trying to overturn an agreement with the ACLU that involved policing activities, including this issue of stop and frisk. So that is the offer that the Trump administration is making. The president also kept up the talk about Chicago in kind of this very bizarre setting of inviting Kanye West into the West Wing, the Wild Wild West Wing, to talk about Chicago.
We've got to get some tax breaks because we're making, we got a speed factory in Atlanta, but the shoes are costing us $300, so it's costing us too much to make things. So we need some prototypes here so we can get people back working so China can't just beat us and Vietnam can't beat us. You got Levi's, the greatest jeans company in the world, making their jeans in Vietnam. So we're going to need to get a few breaks to be able to have some places in my hometown of Chicago and the 2.7 million to the 9 million surrounding suburbs where we can create some factories. Now, I think it'd be cool for them to be Trump factories because he's a master of industry. He's a builder. And I think it'd be cool to have Yeezy Ideation Centers, which would be a mix of education that empowers people and gives them modern information. Like, sometimes people say, this kid has ADD, this kid has ADD. He don't have ADD. School is boring. It was boring. It's not as exciting as this. We have to make it more exciting.
Yeezy Ideation Centers. I'll wait for the explanation at some future date. You're listening to the Sunday Spin on WGN.
Now back to the Tribune's Rick Pearson. It's the Sunday Spin on 720 WGN.
Welcome back to your Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson from the Chicago Tribune here in the Allstate Skyline studio overlooking Chicago River and a sun rising on Lake Michigan. Thought I'd do something a bit different this morning as we get closer to the November 6th election and early voting. There were three broadcast debates involving the candidates for governor, largely J.B. Pritzker, the Democrat challenger to Republican Governor Bruce Rauner. The last debate was held Thursday night in Quincy, Illinois. It was sponsored by WGEM Television in Quincy, as well as the Illinois Broadcasters Association. And debates, I don't know, they don't tend to get a lot of coverage, but I think they deserve to be covered, and they deserve to be watched and listened to. And this was the last debate. It was the lone downstate debate, and you'll hear some references to appeals to downstate voters. But I thought I would play some of the I don't necessarily want to say highlights, but maybe just kind of recap some of this debate that went on. And you hear the voices of the candidates. You make up your own mind. So let's start with the start of the debate, the opening statements by the candidates, starting with Governor Bruce Rauner.
This election for Illinois governor is one of the most important elections in Illinois history. For decades, our state has been going down the road of corruption, tax hikes, job losses, and a failed political system run out of Chicago's corrupt political machine. Today, we stand at the turning point for our state. Today, I'm asking for your vote so we can continue the work to save our state and turn our state around. We've made progress in our first term, growing jobs, 210,000 new jobs, and the endorsement of every job creation state organization in the state. Historic education funding and transformational education new funding formula. Medicaid reform, saving $500 million in fraud and $2 billion in making us the nation's leader in mental health services. An adoption tax credit for families who adopt in the state of Illinois. And the Future Energy Jobs Act, making Illinois a national leader in energy jobs and energy conservation. And many more accomplishments in our first 4 years. But we have so much more to do. We need to get term limits and fair maps done. We need to get regulatory relief to grow even more jobs. And we need to get property tax reductions by getting mandate relief. That's what's at stake. We can't go back to higher taxes. We can't get more corruption through gerrymandered districts. We need to fight for the future. That's why I'm asking for your vote.
Governor, thank you. Mr. Pritzker, you have 90 seconds for an opening statement.
Thank you. I'm J.B. Pritzker, and I've spent my life bringing people together to solve problems and to get big things done. For more than 20 years, I've been a national leader in early childhood education, fighting for universal preschool and quality child care. And I founded 1871, the Small Business Incubator, right here in Illinois, that's now considered the best in the world because we've created thousands of jobs and hundreds of companies. And I led the building of a museum that teaches more than 120,000 kids and adults every year to fight against bigotry, hatred, and intolerance. I'm running for governor because the gridlock and dysfunction in Springfield has caused real damage to working families across our state. I know that we can get big things done for Illinois. That's why I've put forward real plans for expanding and lowering the cost of health care, for bringing back vocational training into our high schools, to make college more affordable, to balance the budget of the state, to raise wages and create jobs. I'll be a governor for you, whether you're a farmer in Macoupin County or a small business person in Peoria or a nurse or a teacher right here in Quincy. I'm J.B. Pritzker, and it's time that we put Springfield back on the side of working families.
So those were the opening statements of the debate, and you could hear a bit of appeals to the downstate, especially that Pritzker comment about appealing to various workers in downstate communities. But Quincy, you have to remember, Quincy also is the home of the Illinois Veterans Home. That's the post-Civil War era 1886 Veterans Home, where with an outbreak of Legionnaire's disease in 2015. A dozen people died in that outbreak. Dozens more were sickened. Annual outbreaks every year after that. Now a total of 14 residents that have died, and over nearly 70 people sickened by Legionnaires. That's where the Veterans Home was 2 miles away from the debate site, and obviously that was a big topic of discussion. And so Governor Rauner was asked about his handling, his administration's handling of the Legionnaires outbreak, something that Attorney General Lisa Madigan is investigating.
Our veterans are our heroes. I have spent my life supporting our veterans and working for their betterment. The tragedy of the Legionella infection for our veterans here in Quincy was a terrible tragedy. It's heartbreaking. And to the families here tonight and the families across Illinois who lost loved ones, I am sorry for your loss. It is deeply painful. And I pledge to you that we will continue to do everything we can to keep our veterans safe. The team here in Quincy is an excellent team. The staff is dedicated. They love the veterans. This home is, in effect, an extended family. And the veterans love this home. The Legionella infection occurred immediately the first day. Action was taken to keep the veterans safe. Water supplies were shut off. Windows were closed. Fountains were shut down. Bathtubs drained and no longer used. And the veterans were evaluated for their health condition. Those who were infected were treated promptly. Everyone else was monitored, and the families of those veterans who showed some symptoms were notified immediately when a change in the health condition of their loved ones. No one's perfect. In retrospect, we could all learn lessons about how to do things better, but the veterans were well served by the outstanding staff here. Action was taken immediately to keep them safe. And now we're going the extra step because it's clear that we can never completely eliminate the bacteria from these ancient pipes. Now we are replacing all the plumbing, all the facilities, so our veterans have one of the most modern, efficient, effective facilities anywhere in the United States of America. Our veterans deserve the very best. I think that much of this so-called criminal investigation is a political ploy to divert attention from the tax fraud that Mr. Pritzker has engaged in, and I believe it's shameful abuse of power by the Attorney General.
Mr. Pritzker, you have 1 minute to respond.
Well, actions were not taken immediately. In fact, 6 days went by, and as a result, people got sick and someone died. And then over the course of 3 years, the neglect and fatal mismanagement led to 14 deaths and 70 people getting sick, including the veterans and their family members and people who worked at the facility. Look, Governor Rauner tried to blame this on Senator Tammy Duckworth. He tried to blame it on the weather. I believe that we have to stand up for our veterans. My father was a Navy veteran. My grandfather, a Navy veteran. It's our obligation to defend our veterans and keep them safe. That's not something that Governor Rauner did. And as a result of his failures and his fatal mismanagement, he's now under a criminal probe, as is his administration. It's a shameful neglect of our veterans who we should be standing up for every single day.
So there was the first back and forth on the Quincy Veterans Home. That continued, but the governor quickly shifted to the subject of J.B. Pritzker and the property tax reassessment that he received on his adjoining mansion in the Gold Coast. Here's Pritzker.
Just want to remind you that it took the governor 3 years to finally do something to keep those vets safe, to actually move them out of the facility, to begin the process of building a new facility. Frankly, I don't know why it took so long. Everybody knew for a long time that something needed to be done, and he did virtually nothing.
Governor, do you have anything? You have 1 minute to respond to that.
I do indeed. This statement by Mr. Pritzker is a politicization of the suffering of our veterans. It is wrong. It is shameful. There is no evidence, not a shred of evidence, of any criminal action or criminal behavior by anyone involved with the Quincy's Veterans Home or our administration. And there have been countless hours of testimony, hundreds and hundreds of emails reviewed, not a shred of criminal evidence. The reason this is being brought up and called a criminal probe is simply for one reason. The 24 hours before Lisa Madigan announced this probe, Mr. Pritzker was determined to have committed a scheme to defraud the taxpayers of Illinois by a Democrat in Cook County government who did a multi-month investigation of Mr. Pritzker and determined that Mr. Pritzker engaged in tax fraud, mail fraud, and perjury. So his allies in government quickly created a sham investigation,
that's
calling a criminal to cover up his actual criminal behavior of stealing $330,000 from the hardworking men and women of the state of Illinois.
So that's that was kind of the launch pad for the debate. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll have more in our recap of the last debate of the two main governor candidates on WGEM-TV and the from the Illinois Broadcasters Association coming up. But right now, time for a quick break. You're listening to The Sunday Spin on WGN. Welcome back to The Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pierce in the Chicago Tribune. We're recapping the last debate of the two major candidates for governor that was held in Quincy on Thursday. The governor relying on that Inspector General's report that surfaced that raised some questions about the property tax reassessment that Pritzker received on a mansion adjoining the one he owns on Astor Street in the Gold Coast. The Inspector General saying that the reassessment, which included the removal of toilets from that property, amounted to a scheme to defraud the taxpayers. Pritzker has said that there was more to it than just the toilets not working, and that was not highlighted in the report. Nevertheless, he's paid $330,000, which represents the refunds he got as well as the value of tax savings that he received. He's repaid that to the Cook County Treasurer's Office. But this is a continued point that the governor is using to argue against Pritzker's electability. This is when he was asked at the debate about should voters trust J.B. Pritzker.
The voters can in no way trust Mr. Pritzker on any issue. He's demonstrated a complete lack of integrity, ethics, and character. He is not worthy of elective office in the state of Illinois. And yes, a bank robber that gets caught and returns the money is still a bank robber. Mr. Pritzker has returned the $330,000 that he stole from every taxpayer in the state of Illinois because he knows it was wrong. But that in no way reduces the seriousness of his crime. These are serious white-collar crimes. Okay. People have gone to prison for far less than Mr. Pritzker has committed.
Just ridiculous.
And, simple fact is, four of my nine predecessors as governor went to jail. Mr. Pritzker has a very good chance of being number five. The people of Illinois.
That's ridiculous.
The people of Illinois deserve better than this.
Please, no applause. Go ahead, Governor, finish your thoughts.
The people of Illinois deserve better than this. Mr. Pritzker lied, committed perjury, according to investigation of a Democrat in Cook County government. He can't be trusted on taxes. He keeps his money in offshore accounts in the Bahamas. He inherited billions, never worked an honest day in his life, inherited billions, and doesn't pay his taxes on it. This is wrong. He tried to use an inheritance to buy office from Governor Rod Blagojevich before he went to prison. He was caught on FBI wiretap just trying to buy the Senate seat or the treasurer's office. This person does not deserve to hold the highest office in the state of Illinois or any elected office. And to add insult to injury, he was caught using the language of racist, referring to elected officials in Illinois, calling black elected officials what did he call him?
I'll leave that to you.
offensive.
All right. Your time is up here, Governor. There's a lot
May
here.
I respond
yeah, there's
the
a lot
governor?
Here. Go ahead. Feel free to respond. You have 1 minute.
If I may, this is, first of all, you've just heard a desperate rant by a failed governor who is in the final hours of his campaign and his governorship.
Folks, please, let's hold the applause. If we could hold the applause.
Clear, you're likely to hear more of that tonight because he's got nothing else, just lies and excuses. Now, I want to respond to the question. This was an internal memo that was leaked for political purposes. There was an article about the fact that this was leaked for political purposes by someone associated with Governor Rauner. And the report that was issued was actually a report about the problems in the tax assessor's office. And
that's ridiculous.
I believe there are real challenges in our property tax system that we need to address. But as for the renovation project that was underway, it was halted because it was unclear whether the home would be sold or rented out, and then the project was restarted. All the taxes that were assessed were paid. But this is Governor Rauner trying to distract from his own record. 22 property tax reassessments he sought, and illegally sought 3 homestead exemptions, and then he wants to raise property taxes on $1 billion on the people of the state of Illinois.
So the candidates then were asked about, without migration, how do you keep people in this state? And the governor immediately proceeded to turn it back into criticism on Pritzker on property taxes, and Pritzker immediately turned it back onto Rauner.
We have been having people leave Illinois for decades. If it weren't for immigration, both legal and illegal, from outside the country, Illinois would be down over 1 million people. People who can choose what state to live in are choosing other states. The number one state they're leaving for is Indiana. They're not going there for the weather. They're going there because the taxes are lower and the regulations are more reasonable, and the manufacturing sector there is booming compared to Illinois. And to add insult to injury, those states have changed their regulations and they're growing their union jobs faster than the state of Illinois, in Indiana, in Wisconsin, in Michigan. We are hostile on taxes and regulations, and Mr. Pritzker's plan, and he's laid it out, a graduated income tax with $11 billion of new spending that's been documented by independent sources, $11 billion in new spending, new taxes will crush the middle class, crush job creators. They will flood out. And the sound of that flood will not be the sound of toilets being flushed. It'll be the sound of businesses getting flushed down the drain in this state of Illinois. We need to cut the taxes, reform our state government, and reduce the regulatory burden on our businesses, and end the corruption that Mr. Pritzker is part of. He has funded Blagojevich. He has funded Madigan. He's part of the Chicago political machine that has been destroying our state for decades. He's cheated on his property taxes. He's been caught by a fellow Democrat, not a Republican, a Democrat who caught him in the cheating. And he says, well, it was leaked. It doesn't matter what was leaked where. That's irrelevant. What matters is the substance of the report. It was written by a Democrat after months of investigation. And what he did determine? Tax fraud, mail fraud, perjury, likely indictment in the next few months. That's and what a tragedy ridiculous. For the people of Illinois if that indictment would come after this election. We deserve better than this. Not tax hikes, not more corruption, more economic growth.
All right, Mr. Pritzker, you have 1 minute to respond.
Thank you very much. The governor wants to talk about corruption, so let's talk about corruption. It's the height of corruption when you put your personal and your business and your political interests above the interests of the people of the state of Illinois. He covered up the fatal mismanagement at the Quincy Veterans Home. He was unwilling to close the company that he owned that now emits a gas that causes cancer. He's done virtually nothing to deal with the neglect of children at DCF. And then there was this terrible abuse and neglect of seniors at nursing homes that he owned. That is the height of corruption. I think you want a governor who stands up for the people of Illinois, who thinks about their safety and security. This governor has put his own interests above the safety of people all across the state.
We're listening to a recap of the last gubernatorial debate of the campaign leading up to the November 6th election between J.B. Pritzker, the Democratic challenger, and Republican Governor Bruce Rauner. We're going to take a quick break. This is the Sunday Spin.
This is the Sunday Spin on 720 WGN. Once again, here's Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune.
Welcome back to your second hour of your Sunday Spin. We're recapping the last debate of the gubernatorial campaign held in Quincy on Thursday night, sponsored by WGEM Television down in Quincy, as well as the Illinois Broadcasters Association. One of the great topics in this campaign is the fact that Democratic candidate J.B. Pritzker has proposed replacing the constitutionally mandated flat rate income tax structure in Illinois, replacing it with a graduated tax similar to the federal tax that taxes based on income. He's constantly been shying away from providing any details about what those tax rates would be, saying it's a matter that has to be negotiated. It's provided an opening for Governor Rauner to allege that implementing such a tax would be just a tax hike on everyone. In the debate, Pritzker gave a little bit of detail. Still, that created an opening for Bruce Rauner to attack him.
A teacher in Peoria, my city, makes an average of $51,481. Under your plan, how much would this teacher pay to the state of Illinois in income tax?
That teacher ought to get a tax break. In fact, people in the middle class and those striving to get there should get a tax break.
So less than
5%? Those at the very top, 4.95% is what this governor has spent, by the way.
That's
the tax that he's spent. And we ought to ask people like Governor Rauner and me and the wealthiest people in the state to pay more. Look, here's the point of a fair tax system. The point of it is that we want to lower property taxes across the state, pay for our schools differently, because that's causing a lot of the property tax increases that people are feeling. And we want to lower taxes on the middle class and those striving to get there, because people who are living paycheck to paycheck, they're the ones, first ones who are going to be able to spend that money on something that's good for them and good for the economy of the state of Illinois if they spend that money.
But why not give a rate?
Lower taxes for most people.
Why not give a rate? We didn't get a rate in the first forum. We didn't get a rate in the ABC 7 debate.
Because
this is your chance tonight, the last debate. Can you give us a rate?
Well, let me tell you this. We want to make sure that we're negotiating it with the people in the legislature, members of the House and the Senate who are representatives of the people. And then, and this is important, in order to get this done, it's got to go to a referendum of the people of Illinois. So, look, this is going to be negotiated. I want to have Republicans and Democrats at the table to help us determine what the right rates are.
No ballpark. So voters have an idea
before
they vote.
Whatever we do, it's got to be good for the middle class. We've got to make sure that we're creating jobs. Remember, the vast majority of states in the United States have a fair tax system, a progressive income tax system, and they're doing much better than we are. We're in the bottom third of job creation under this governor. We can do so much better. And those states are also taking care of their pension issues, too. The federal government has a fair tax system. 32 states in the United States that have income taxes have a fair tax system. We can lower property taxes in the state and lower taxes for the middle class with this idea.
Governor, go ahead. You have 1 minute to respond.
Mr. Pritzker dodges questions like he dodges his taxes. Here's a simple fact. Mr.
You
Pritzker
put money
won't
in
answer
the Cayman
this
Islands.
Question because he knows the answer is the middle class is going to get crushed. The middle class will get crushed under his plan. He has proposed almost $11 billion in
That's
new spending,
false.
Let alone what we are already spending in the state of Illinois. It was confirmed by an independent source and written about in the Champaign News Gazette. You can't have $11 billion and put it only on rich
Governor, you're
people
just not
in the state.
The
middle class will get crushed. And his Democratic allies in the General Assembly actually slipped up and made a little bit of a mistake. They put out proposed tax rates for a graduated income tax 2 years ago. And you know what? Somebody making $40,000 middle class income pays 6.25% under that
That's
plan.
Just not something
Mr. Pritzker doesn't want to talk
not
about that.
Not something I accept, Governor. And once
yes,
again,
yours will
lying.
Be higher than that.
All right,
that.
Gentlemen, we need to move on. That's time. We need to move on.
So, following that little dust up, the candidates were asked, because this was the lone downstate gubernatorial debate, the candidates were asked about what they would do to help encourage agriculture. And we end up with the governor talking about how he earned his wealth compared to Pritzker inheriting his, and using regional politics to attack Chicago Democrats, while Pritzker says that the governor hasn't done enough to fight Donald Trump.
I am a strong advocate for Illinois farmers. I come from a farm family. My grandparents were dairy farmers and corn farmers, lived in a little double-wide trailer. They taught me my work ethic. I didn't have any inheritance at all, but they taught me how to work hard. And I've made my own fortune in life working for teachers and law enforcement officers, and have done a great job earning my way the whole way. Our farmers get hurt by tariff wars. I've been to the White House three times to discuss tariffs and tariff issues with the president and administration, as well as members of Congress. But that said, I support the efforts to change the unfair trade deals that have been taking away jobs in America. For years, other nations have been taking advantage of American jobs, hurting our union workers, hurting our factory workers and our farm workers with unfair trade deals. I applaud the administration's effort to change those unfair trade deals. But while that is happening, I'm working with them to try to bring down the tariff impacts on our farmers. I've been a lifelong advocate for farm families, and I've done many important things for our farmers, gotten them more education funding for small and rural districts in the new education funding formula. I've gotten a harvest emergency signed so that our farmers can get their products to market much more efficiently and effectively. I worked with them on very advanced soil and water conservation in our districts to protect our resources on our farms. And I've made sure that the state is reducing the regulatory burden and supporting our farmers in their growth so that they can lead the world in exports around the globe. We're making good progress for our farmers, but our farmers are tied to the land. They can't leave. They're here. And Mr. Pritzker and his ally, Mr. Madigan, the Chicago political machine of Pritzker, Madigan, and Blagojevich, they care nothing about farmers. They care about the city of Chicago and their plans to raise taxes and gerrymander our districts again after the 2020 census will devastate our farmers, and we can't let that happen.
Mr. Pritzker, you have 1 minute to respond, sir.
Well, it's hard to call out all the lies in that last soliloquy, but let's talk about the million people that are employed in our agriculture economy in the state of Illinois. We need to protect them. And when Donald Trump and the administration initiates a trade war that hurts our soybean farmers, that hurts our livestock farmers, you want a governor who's going to stand up and call it out, who's going to go to our federal officials and ask them to call it out. I want to point out to all of you that in the 4 years that the governor has been in office, he has not once called Senator Dick Durbin to ask him to do anything for the people of the state of Illinois. Not once. Not once. You want a governor who's actually going to go to our federal officials and ask them to fight for the farmers of Illinois. Our soybean farmers are being harmed. You know, when you lose a customer in China, for example, under this trade war, it's very hard to get a customer back. Very hard. And so people in Illinois are being harmed by this trade war. You want a governor who's going to stand up for them and make sure the jobs are not lost in our agriculture economy.
We'll have more of our recap of the Quincy gubernatorial debate. But first, time for a quick break. You're listening to The Sunday Spin on WGN.
A highly developed nation, a well-educated people. How could something like this happen?
Oh, I don't believe there are answers. There are no answers, and this museum is not an answer. It is a question mark.
It was the crime against humanity. It was the Holocaust.
What my parents went through wasn't in vain. The lessons will continue.
I'm Kim Gordon. Listen for my special series, Chicago Vows to Never Forget, as we honor the 25th anniversary of the U.S. Holocaust Memorial Museum in Washington, D.C.
This museum has the guarantee of being able to stand for as long as this country stands.
Listen for Kim's special three-part series throughout the day today on 720 WGN.
Latinx. This Hispanic Heritage Month, what it means, and should you start using it? Monday's cover story on WGN TV News at 9.
Mom, have you seen my blue notebook?
Dolores! Have you seen the remote?
Some things are hard to find. Great healthcare isn't. Now that Presence Health has joined Amita Health, it's even easier to find high-quality primary and specialty care. With more than 230 locations across Illinois, we're here for you always. Learn more at amitahealth.org/access. To find a doctor, call 855-MY-AMITA. Amita Health, in sickness and in health.
When you're ready to trade up from ordinary to extraordinary, visit the Midwest's premier entertainment destination. Four Winds Casinos. Exceptional food, shows, shopping, and fun at Four Winds Casinos. With locations in South Bend, New Buffalo, Hartford, and Dowagiac. Visit FourWindsCasinos.com and trade up from ordinary to extraordinary. Four Winds Casinos. Message and data rates may apply.
Guys, got hair loss? I know what you're thinking. Should I shave my head, comb it over, wear a hat? Just stop. This isn't 1970. Keep your hair and your confidence because Bosley, America's number one hair restoration expert, can give you your real hair back permanently. Check them out today because they're giving away an absolutely free information kit and a free gift card to everyone who texts GROW to 85850. Dude, you don't have to look like your dad because this isn't your dad's hair loss treatment. People all over the country trust Bosley because they're ahead of the curve. They use the latest technology to give you your real hair back. And the best part, Bosley's permanent solution is protected by the Bosley Guarantee. Let them show you for free how awesome your hair could look with an absolutely free information kit and a gift card for $250 off. Text GROW to 85850. Ask about the Bosley Guarantee. GROW to 85850.
Welcome back to your Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson here in the Allstate Skyline studio. We're recapping the last gubernatorial debate of the 2018 campaign for governor. The debate held in Quincy last Thursday evening on WGEM television and also sponsored by the Illinois Broadcasters Association. Both men spoke about education funding. The governor talked about how he led the fight for more funding, even though he vetoed one plan because he considered it a Chicago bailout, only to sign later a plan that gave more money to the Chicago schools.
Look, funding for schools in Illinois is done the wrong way. In Illinois, about 25% of the funding for public schools comes from the state, and the vast majority of the rest of it comes from the property tax system, local property taxes. Now, in the average state in the United States, about half of the funding for public education comes from the state and half from property taxes. So that's why our property taxes are so high across the state of Illinois. That's why we need a fair tax system to lower local property taxes, which are driving people. You asked about out-migration. It's driving people out of the state. Having a better funded and higher quality education system is critical for us and for our economy. The governor stands four square against making a fairer tax system in the state because he benefits from the flat tax system. We have a very unfair tax system. In fact, we have the most unfair tax system in the nation. It's been called out that way. That's why we need to make changes in that system. And to the question, a funding formula change was made in the state over the objections of the governor. He likes to take credit for that, but actually it was State Senator Andy Menar that led the effort to get a formula change. That formula is a good change, but it only works if we actually fund our schools properly. I believe that every child in Illinois deserves a quality education, no matter the color of their skin, the income level of their parents, or the zip code that they live in. We've got to invest in that education, including in our community colleges, too, and we've got to bring back vocational training into our high schools so that kids can get jobs without going to college and make college more affordable. Those are all things that we can get accomplished by changing the way we fund schools and lowering local property taxes.
Governor, you have 1 minute to respond to that question.
Caitlin, education funding is simply the most important thing we do together as a community. I ran for governor to have the best schools in America and the strongest, fastest growing economy, and we're making progress on both. Truth is, in the 10 years before I became governor, we had one-party rule dominated by Mike Madigan along with Blagojevich and Quinn. In that 10 years, state support for education was cut four times in the prior 10 years. We were one of the worst states for state support for local education. I ran for governor to fix that. And this baloney about Andy Menar, he was in the Senate then. He did it. He was part of the failure of that. I became governor. I created a bipartisan task force. We now have $1.4 billion more every year from the state to our local schools, record funding. And we have a new education funding formula that's more equitable.
That happened in spite of you, not because of you,
Governor. I led, Mr. Pritzker, and could have happened at any time prior to my governorship.
In spite of you.
And you know what? if you're going to interrupt, be careful about the perjury, Mr. Pritzker.
So there you have a little bit there about education funding and perjury. Although the whole issue about Andy Menard not having anything to do with it, there's a lot of inflation going on in that discussion there by the governor. Asked about gun violence across the state, the governor cites the largely debunked belief that undocumented immigrants take jobs from Americans.
The largest driver of violence in our neighborhoods is unemployment. There is lack of economic opportunity, and this has been true for decades. The violence in Chicago was just as bad, actually worse, 20 years ago. It goes in cycles because of massive unemployment. Our labor regulations, our taxes, our restrictions on our businesses, our workers' comp system full of fraud and abuse, businesses have been leaving the state. They stayed, many of them, because I ran and because I won. And many of those businesses have said, we're growing in Illinois, Governor, because of you. But if Mr. Pritzker got in and raised taxes, we're gone. We can't tax our way out of this problem. We need businesses growing in the neighborhoods. And as I made crystal clear the other day, we have a problem of illegal immigration in the state of Illinois that's part of this issue. Mr. Pritzker has publicly said he supports sanctuary cities. I do not. Mr. Pritzker has said there's no person that's illegal. The reality is we have an illegal immigration problem in the state
of
Illinois.
These are human beings. They're not illegal.
And Mr. Pritzker, illegal immigration takes jobs away from union members, factory workers, farm workers, holds down American wages. We need to enforce our immigration laws. We need comprehensive immigration reform to support legal immigration, folks coming here with their skills that help our economy grow, but to end illegal immigration. And to do that, we need E-Verify for all the employers in the state, and we need to increase the penalty for employers who break the law and hire illegals rather than Americans. You'll see in Chicago, if it wasn't a sanctuary city with hundreds of thousands of illegal immigrants, more jobs for the citizens of Chicago and higher wages for the citizens of Chicago and a better future. And violence gets driven by unemployment. Immigrants don't particularly do violence themselves, as I was misrepresented the other day. But then when they take jobs from Americans, unemployment contributes to violence, and we've got to end that.
Mr. Pritzker, you have 1 minute.
We agree. The governor and I agree on one thing, and that is we needed to pass and sign a trust act, which he did, and I agree with that. But let's deal with the gun violence question that was asked. We have a real gun violence issue all across the state of Illinois. It's not just in Chicago, as you pointed out, here in Quincy, in Rockford, in Springfield. Let's ask the question, why has it gotten so much worse over the last 2 to 3 years? One of the biggest reasons is because when you don't pass a budget, guess what happens? When you're unwilling to compromise and pass a budget, mental health services are cut. Substance abuse treatment, jobs programs for our youth are cut. He talks about jobs. People also need the escalator, the ability to get to a job, and that means investing in the skills training that people need to get those jobs and making sure that we've got violence interruption services. When they cut them in Springfield, when they cut the budget because of Governor Rauner, guess what happened in Springfield when that program was cut? Violence took off. We need to address the core issue of jobs, and we need to address the core issue of a budget, because those are the things that people need, and we can avoid gun violence.
Now, there is one thing that the candidates agreed in their closing statement. They both agreed that this is the most important election and that there's a clear choice.
This is the most important election of our lifetime, and you have a clear choice. We can bring a new day to Illinois. Illinois is and can be so much better than it has been over the last 4 years. Whether you live here in Quincy or in Carbondale, Peoria, or Rockford, I think you want a governor who's fighting for you every day, not trying to pit one part of the state against another. In fact, we are one Illinois. So I will be a governor who wakes up every single day fighting to lower the cost of health care for you, making college more affordable, raising wages, and creating jobs. I'm J.B. Pritzker, And I intend to work with you to help put Springfield back on the side of working families. Thank you.
Governor Rauner, you have 90 seconds for a closing remark.
This is the most important election of the last 50 years. This is a key turning point in our state's history. This will determine our children and our grandchildren's future. We have a clear choice. Do we go back to the past with Mr. Pritzker and Mr. Madigan in total control, one-party rule, higher taxes, bigger spending, more job losses, more overregulation of our businesses, and a center of government concentrated in Chicago that doesn't care about Central Illinois or Western Illinois or Southern Illinois? We have that choice with Mr. Pritzker going back to the past to a, with a person who's been caught by a Democrat inspector general in Chicago committing tax fraud, mail fraud, and perjury, who has been caught on FBI wiretap trying to buy political office from Rod Blagojevich, who has been caught hiding his money in offshore bank accounts so he doesn't even pay the proper income taxes on inherited billions of dollars, and who uses the language of racist. He doesn't care about others. He manipulates the system for his own benefit. We can't go there. We deserve better. I've worked hard for 4 years. We've made progress on jobs, education, health care, and transforming the state. We've got a long way to go, but we can't give up. We can't give up. If we keep working, we'll get term limits. We'll get lower property taxes. We'll get more jobs. We'll become the greatest state in the greatest nation on earth when we have a honest government that works for the people again instead of the corrupt insiders. Let's never give up. Let's create a better future together.
And that's how the Quincy debate ended up. You're listening to the Sunday Spin on WGN.
WGN.
Now the Sunday Spin continues on 720 WGN. Here's Rick Pearson.
Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson. There's a liberal group called Another Acronym, and they've launched what they call a Knock the Vote campaign. Not Rock the Vote, Knock the Vote. It's actually a brutal and brutally funny satirical attack by older people, basically urging younger people not to vote.
Dear young people,
don't vote.
Don't vote.
Everything's fine the way it is.
Trump, that was us.
He's our guy.
Tax cuts for the rich? Hell yeah, I'm rich as f***.
Climate change? That's a you problem. I'll be dead soon.
Sure, school shootings are sad.
But I haven't been in a school for 50 years.
I can't keep track of which lives matter.
Sure you don't like it.
So, you'll like some meme on Instagram.
If the weather is nice, maybe you could go to one of those little marches.
You might even share this video on Facebook.
But you won't vote.
You young people never do.
But I do. I do.
I do. Midterms, primaries.
Every single election.
We'll be there, but you won't.
Because we're a generation of doers.
Not whiners.
And we're doing great.
That's the Knock the Vote campaign. And now that you've heard from the two gubernatorial candidates in Illinois, the two main candidates from their debate in Quincy, if you think our governor's race is bad, I want you to listen to this. This is Republican Scott Wagner. He's challenging Democratic Governor Tom Wolf in Pennsylvania. And here's Wagner discussing what he'd like to do with the Democratic governor.
Well, Governor Wolf, let me tell you, between now and November 6th, you better put a catcher's mask on your face, because I'm going to stomp all over your face with golf spikes, because I'm going to win this for the state of Pennsylvania, and we're throwing you out of office.
There you go. So, just another day in Pennsylvania politics. Well, bringing things closer to home, on the phone is my Tribune colleague, Todd Lighty. Todd's a member of the Tribune's investigative team, and last week produced some great work regarding what we have in this race, the two wealthiest candidates ever to run for governor of the state of Illinois, and how the wealthy use certain techniques to try to shelter taxes. Todd, thanks much for joining me this morning.
Oh, no problem, Rick. Good morning.
And put away the golf spikes, will you?
I do not golf, but that's okay.
I thought you'd like that as a lead-in for you. So you did a lot of research here, and the thing is, there wasn't necessarily a lot to work with when it comes to offshoring money by these candidates.
That's true. Basically, what we know and what everybody knows is that Mr. Pritzker and Mr. Rauner are very wealthy individuals. What we don't know is really a lot where that wealth is, where it resides. And the importance of that is, you know, as you seek public office, as we see more and more with President Trump in Washington, D.C., and more wealthier people running for office, the importance of knowing where someone's wealth is, it reflects on how whether their interests will conflict with the interests of the voters of Illinois, right? And so we tried to pierce that a little bit to find out where that wealth is. Mr. Pritzker's is tied up in offshore trusts and domestic trusts in more than 300 entities in which he has investments in. And some of those investments are registered in the Bahamas and the Cayman Islands. Mr. Rauner, who's a wealthy private equity investor, he has more than 100 entities he has interests in, and some of those also are registered offshore in the Cayman Islands. What we don't know is the amount of money that's invested offshore, or particularly what those offshore funds are invested in. So it's a little murky what companies or other interests they may have offshore.
So what is the purpose of having investments that are offshore in the Cayman Islands and the Bahamas?
Well, there are legitimate good reasons for that. Is there can be offshore funds created in the Caymans, but as many of them are, to draw foreign investors and pension funds and endowments to invest in that. There are legitimate reasons for tax avoidance, which is, you know, avoiding taxes is a legal strategy. Nothing wrong with that. People do that all the time. Where it becomes a problem is if people actually evade taxes and run tax scams offshore. There's no suggestion that Mr. Pritzker or Mr. Rauner are involved in that, but at the end of the day, one truly never knows because we don't have access to their federal and state tax returns. Both candidates have declined to release those except for the first two summary pages of those forms.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like the constant answer we get is when we ask for more detail is, I released the cover pages and here's my statement of economic interest filed with the state. But that's not a suitable explainer of the financial situation involving these candidates.
And you're right, Rick. I mean, as you know from covering politics for years in Illinois and elsewhere, that it's become more and more pushed towards transparency, the candidates disclose their finances. And here we have a Republican and a Democrat who are more alike when it comes to their finances than they are different. While they may have different policy objectives and stances, when it comes to their money, they're one and the same. And that is less is more. The less they tell us, the more we want to know, and we sort of cannot get there.
Well, and you have all, it's almost like candidates that talk about education funding is the most important thing. Education's most number one. And it's like, I'll be the most transparent governor you've ever had. You know,
it is sort of like that. And it's a vitally important issue, again, as I say, because the richer you are, the potential for conflicts become that much greater, right? Now, Mr. Pritzker has said if he's elected that he'll set up a blind trust to run his finances. Now, that would be a true blind trust, would be an independent trustee with no relationship with Mr. Pritzker, and almost all his wealth would be turned over to that person to run. We don't have details on that. His campaign has said that his lawyers are continuing to work those details out.
And that's in contrast to what we've seen with Governor Rauner.
Yes, a good point. Governor Rauner has what he calls blind trust procedures. They are not a true blind trust. And what he's done, he has given an investment firm, a New York City investment firm, power of attorney over his and his wife's investment decisions. Now, that investment firm, as I said, Roundtable, is not fully independent of Mr. Rauner. Mr. Rauner is an investment net firm. He has at least two or three funds in which he invests from that firm, and that firm's top management is a major campaign contributor to Mr. Rauner.
We're speaking to my Tribune colleague Todd Lighty from the Trib's investigative team. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Welcome back to your Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune here in the Allstate Skyline studio. And joining me on the phone is my Tribune colleague from our investigative team, Todd Lighty. We're talking about the work he did in looking into the offshore investments of J.B. Pritzker and Governor Bruce Rauner. And Todd, I was kind of curious because, and I was playing some of the audio cuts from the last gubernatorial debate, and you hear Governor Rauner say, well, Pritzker doesn't pay, he doesn't pay income taxes because his money's offshore. What do we know about that?
Well, what we know is this, that Pritzker will not release the tax returns on any of the trusts he benefits from, domestic or offshore. The offshore trusts were set up generations ago for the benefit of Mr. Pritzker and his relatives by his grandfather. What he says about the offshore funds, the money from that, he does not personally benefit. He says that that money, it goes into his family charity. So it all just goes from offshore into the charity, then the charity then disperses it. But he does not personally benefit from that. Now, having said that, it gets a little more convoluted in that we were able to determine that there was an offshore shell company set up in the Bahamas in which he benefits from. One of those is something called Moreau Capital Holdings. And interestingly enough, we found that Moreau Capital Holdings had an interest in one of Pritzker's companies buying land from the city along the Chicago River. And what the idea was that they would use that land to launch duck boat tours downtown. Now, we know nothing about Moreau Capital Holdings other than Mr. Pritzker says that's was set up not by him, but by a trust. We don't know. It's just a shell company. Does it have any investments? What else is it invested in? And since we wrote that story initially back in the spring, we've kind of find out that that land deal is dead, that the city and Pritzker's company cannot come to an agreement, I guess, on the sale of that. So this is sort of the murky area of trying to figure out where these super wealthy candidates might have money invested or through what companies, because there are a series of LLCs and shell companies and trusts and investment funds that the rich use that the everyday sort of middle class person would never have access to.
Well, and the other day when Governor Rauner was out at an event on the north side, basically asked him, since this has become a subject of his attacks on Pritzker, about, you know, is there something hypocritical about criticizing Pritzker over offshore investments when you too, Governor, you have offshore investments as well? And then it became, well, I don't have as much as he does, kind of thing. I mean, and never gets to the root of, you know, well, why did you make that decision? And it gets murkier there too, because some of this involves the Rauner Family Foundation.
You're right, Rick. Throughout the campaign, Mr. Rauner's attacked Mr. Pritzker for his offshore holdings, calling him a trust fund baby. What Mr. Rauner has not talked about were his own offshore holdings. He has at least three investment funds that he has money parked in that are registered out of the Cayman Islands. And even while he was governor, his own family foundation, the Rauner Family Foundation, invested more than $10 million in a fund in the Cayman Islands. And this is why he was governor. The thing that got a little tricky for us trying to understand is how did that $10 million investment come to be? Originally, his campaign said Mr. and Mrs. that Bruce Rauner and his wife controlled the investment decisions. They later came back and said, no, it's the power of attorney roundtable who does that. But the books are in the care of Bruce Rauner's wife, Diana. The investment manager is listed as J.P. Chase and not Roundtable, at least the most recent form in which there is an investment manager listed. So You're right. When it comes to their offshore investments, they have not been very clear about just what it is that they have and how it came to be.
Now, in doing the reporting on this, I thought you might be able to help explain the Paradise Papers and what that is and how that helped inform our reporting.
Sure. Paradise Papers are a trove of leaked documents, millions of pages of documents, and it deals mainly with wealthy people and how they invest offshore. And most of those documents came from a firm called Appleby. It's a major offshore law firm that says it has the represents the right people in the right places. And in with that, this is a project that we partner with the International Consortium of Journalists to do. And what we were able to do is we were able to run the various entities and interests that Mr. Pritzker and Mr. Rauner have through the Paradise Papers. And one of the things we found, for instance, as it relates to Mr. Rauner, was that his former private equity firm, GTCR, was at one point considered a major client of Appleby's for offshore investments. So it shows you that Mr. Rauner's former private equity firm was very active offshore as well.
But yet he, when we ask him questions about that activity or at GTCR, he seeks to minimize that.
Yeah, he said he left GTCR prior to 2013. They would not respond to any questions about, well, how long have you been a client of Appleby's offshore? How long has GTCR been a client? How did you come to hire them? What interest do they have for you offshore? So those questions went unanswered. And that's what both candidates did. Mr. Pritzker and Mr. Rauner declined to be interviewed. One, two, we submitted very detailed questions to both campaigns, and they did not respond necessarily to each detailed question. We submitted three dozen questions to Mr. Pritzker, and we got back a stock, pretty much six-paragraph statement that they had issued earlier when he released his taxes last fall.
And, you know, again, this is very important, folks, because, and it's not a partisan thing. It's just very important when you have people who are very wealthy and have various investment interests. And basically, if you ever saw these forms, they basically give you, you know, some investment name, trust XYZ. You don't know what those are invested in, and it creates this huge potential for a conflict of interest.
So, and that's right, Rick. Andrew Stoltman, who we interviewed for the article, he's a Chicago-based securities lawyer, said that exactly. The potential conflicts are much more material simply because the more money you have, the greater the potential to favor a particular industry or a tax change that benefits you.
And
we just don't know much about their finances.
No, we don't. No, we don't. Except we both know they've got a lot of cash. Todd Leidy, my colleague at the Chicago Tribune from the Trib's investigative unit, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
You're welcome, Rick.
Well, that's all we have time for on this edition of the Sunday Spin. I want to thank Todd Leidy, my colleague from the Tribune, investigative reporter, for giving us some insight into the offshoring of investments by our two main governor candidates. And also thanks to the folks at WGM-TV and Quincy and the Illinois Broadcasters Association for sponsoring that last gubernatorial debate.